Lifting up your voices to Yahweh. Let's go with humble hearts and humble minds before the King of the universe. Almighty Yahweh, King of the universe, we thank you once again, giving us another Sabbath day to come before you, to worship before you, to congregate, Almighty Yahweh, to share experiences with one another. And we are still basking, Almighty Yahweh, in the glow of your awesome feasts. And so we just thank you for inviting us. We thank you for all those that came out, all the learning that we got, and all the feasting, and just the beautiful friendships, and all the families being together, and the children enjoying the feast as well. Abba Yahweh, please be with those who don't have a place to worship. This is all they have. They have YouTube and Facebook. But we know that you can be with them and help them and grow their understanding. Be with those, Abba Yahweh, that wanted to be here, but they couldn't, Almighty Yahweh, for whatever reason. And those that have to quarantine because of their health, we just thank you that we're being mindful of our brothers so that, you know, we can better serve you, Almighty Yahweh. Thank you for all those that made the feast great and all those that are making the Sabbath great. Be with all your children all over the world, and we thank you for all you do. And I say a special prayer for those, Almighty Yahweh, that sacrifice each and every day so that we might have shalom. We thank you and we praise you, and all this we ask in Yahshua's mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Living Stones, you know, I was on the schedule for quite a while, and I was wondering, wow, how to follow up a great Feast of Tabernacles. What a great feast it was. So I go into my bag. It's not a bag of tricks, but it seems I have material from long ago, and everything is still applicable. So I have here, Sharpen Your Sword from 2022, Feast of Unleavened Bread. You go through it. It has a lot of great things. But at the back, some food for thought. Preach the evangel always. If necessary, use words. So you talk about living stones. You know, Yahshua, he was the living stone. But Peter refers to us as living stones as well. And so I got a couple messages from a couple different elders. One of them is saying, oh, I'm going to preach on true repentance and baptism. Excellent. And then another one tells me, hey, listen, today we're one day closer to Yahshua's return. Hallelujah. So if you would, I'm going to open up with 1 Peter. And one thing we learned during Tabernacles, and one thing you'll continue to learn as you study the word, context is everything. Context is everything. So 1 Peter, what I want to do is I want to take the last verse of chapter 1 in 1 Peter, and we'll build upon this. We'll read along. Peter is my favorite book. My favorite scripture is from Romans 8, but Peter as a whole is my favorite book. And so Peter ends, he does an intro, and then he ends in 1 Peter 1:25. He says, and the word of our Elohim stands for eternities, and this is that word by which you have been evangelized. So stop right there. If you're a New Testament Christian, what did Peter just tell us? The book wasn't written yet, was it? He's telling us that the Torah, the prophets, the writings, that's what they use to evangelize. And that's why the book is living, and we're still using it, right? So the Apostle Peter, after his intro, interesting, his intro was to the scattered tribes, the 12 tribes. He tells us that the word used to evangelize was the Torah and the prophets. Now, I did a survey because, you know, we have different backgrounds, people from different places. And I asked a question. So who are Yahweh's true people? What traits define them? And here's some of the answers I got. Some of you guys, you gave me some of these answers. I'll tell you how many they got. So three of them, the testimony of Yahshua and the law. Shabbat and feast keeping, two. Obedience, six. Scattered throughout the nations, one. Stiff neck, this should have had more, one. Understand his plan of salvation, one. They have a servant's heart, two. Connected to the vine, one. Connected to Yahshua. The good thing is, this is not like the last say. If somebody asks you that question, you can give them your own answer according to your experience. You can go through them, and you can go through the scriptures and tell them why you believe. Okay, these are Yahweh's true people. And so we'll open this up a little more, but the scriptures tell us that the weightier matters are helping the poor, the widows, and the fatherless. And here's something that somebody sent me, anonymous. He knows who he is, right? Are your prayers and works like gold that's fine in this believer's life you planned? Or are they carved on wooden stone, a coin in Judas's hand? Are you treading step by step towards the kingdom's gate? Or did you choose the way that's broad and earn a tragic fate? The hour is here, it's time to choose a path with precision and not linger, not a moment more. So I took notes from a lot of the sermons that were given and even some previous ones. A couple questions came up from one sermon. If righteousness was your top priority, how would you organize your life? Talking about Yahweh's true people, what defines them? They're living stones. If you were wrong about something, who would you trust to tell you? We came to the feast. We had, you know, things that we thought were right. Maybe they're right, but maybe they're not. And so, let us not just seek to have spiritual experiences here in Abba's house. Let us seek opportunities to witness about the kingdom. 1 Peter 2:1. Therefore, put away from you all wickedness, all treachery, partiality, envy, and slander, and be as nursing infants, and yearn for the word, as for pure and spiritual milk, by which you shall grow strong for life. If you have tasted and have seen that Yahweh is good. He to whom you draw near, the living stone, whom the children of men have rejected and is chosen and precious of Elohim. And you also, as living stones, be built up and become spiritual temples and holy priests to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable before Elohim by Yahshua the Messiah. For it is said in the scriptures, behold, I lay down in Zion an approved and precious stone at the head of the corner, and whoever believes in him will not be ashamed. This honor is given therefore to you, those who believe, but to those who are disobedient, he is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and they stumble on it in that they do not obey the word, for they are appointed to this. For you are a chosen race who serve as priests for the kingdom, a holy people, a redeemed assembly. You should proclaim the praises of him who called you from darkness into his excellent light. You are those who at first were not considered a people, but now are the people of Yahweh. Neither were mercies upon you, but now mercies are poured out upon you. So that's a little chunky sermon from Peter there in his first letter. So the people Moses led out of Egypt were rebellious, stiff-necked, and stubborn. But there's hope. because there's always a remnant that survives. Those that were once not a people are now considered a part of Israel. We talked about that earlier, Romans 9, Romans 11, and that's quoted from Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10. So if you have any doubts, if you have any concern, we know sometimes some people, you know, they struggle with sin that they have and they think that Abba cannot forgive them. And so if you're still hanging in there, if you're still doing what Yahweh tells you, you're going to have struggles. You're not going to have all the answers when some people approach you and they put you in a corner. But the good thing is we can always admit, you know what, I'm sorry, I don't have an answer for you. But Yahweh does. Maybe you could keep on studying. So, you know, I had a coworker from Jamaica, and he told me he struggled with the fact that Yahweh chose Israel. And I often wondered about that. Why is it that you struggle with that, you know? And I told him, well, Yahweh made promises to our forefathers. He made promises all the way back in the beginning. And so Yahweh is a type that he will keep his promise. And so that's why all of Israel has a chance. And even if you're not, you know, from one of the tribes, you still have a chance to get into the kingdom. You have a chance to do Abba's work. And so in this day and age, you have some who say they replaced Israel. You know, and that's unbelievable. But when you think about man's pride, it doesn't surprise us that some would, you know, stretch that far and say that, you know, Judah doesn't have a chance. Well, what tribe was Joshua from if Israel doesn't have a chance? What about Caleb? And what about the general Joshua? They made it into the promised land, right? James 1:25 tells us, but whosoever sees with fullness into the law of joy and establishes it and does not forget what he heard, but does it, this one will be blessed in all his deeds. In order to establish the law, you have to keep it, don't you? Romans 13:10. We'll share some of these slides with you, give you a couple of nuggets there. We talk a lot about the Sabbath. We talk a lot about the feast. Why? They have significance spiritually to Abba's people. Abba is concerned about the day you keep holy. Abba is concerned about the food you eat, because he is a set apart Elohim. Romans 13 and verse 10. Romans 13. So somebody tells you, oh, you know what? That law has been done away with. I don't have to keep that. So Romans 13 tells us, love does no evil to a neighbor. Therefore, love in the completion of the Torah. Hey, wait a minute. So that means that if you don't agree with me, but yet you love me, you're keeping the law, aren't you? Isn't that what Paul said? If I don't have love, I have nothing. All my work is a waste of time. So how about this? If you love your neighbor, you speak truth to your neighbor. Isn't that what you do? If you love your neighbor? Lying to a neighbor is like spreading germs or a virus. It's the same thing. How many of us have ever promoted things that were not true because we didn't fact check? How many times you promote something there on Facebook and you go back, you say, oh my goodness, this was a lie. This was just a joke. One of these jokes that people put out there and people, wow, that sounds good. Let me share that. Oops, I didn't fact check. Ouch, I had to take it back. That's what happens. That's why we have elders. That's why we have brothers and sisters that have been doing this. There's brothers and sisters that have been doing this a long time, yet they don't have a title. They don't need it. They're not looking for titles. You see there in Ephesians 6:12, we get into arguments, we get into spats, and we forget that it's not flesh and blood that we're wrestling against. It's these spirits that come around, as we heard during Tabernacles. When Abba's people come together, who else comes along? Brings his little buddies. And that's where the arguments come from. That's where the debates come from. If you read Numbers 14, it's a very interesting chapter. It's kind of depressing, you know, if you're in this walk. Because you go back and you read about the mistakes that some of the forefathers made that could have been avoided. But because of our human nature, we do things that offend Almighty Yahweh. Numbers 14, basically, in a nutshell, it's about the rebels who lack faith in Yahweh. And Yahweh had no choice. He had no choice. If you're 20 years old and above, you're held accountable. Now, maybe if you haven't been in this walk all your life, then, of course, that's a little different. But if you've been in this 20 years, Abba would figure, you know, that you would understand certain things. And he knows that our level of understanding might be different between some of us, but you should understand at least common sense. You should understand at least logic. So how many of them survived from those that came out of Egypt that were 20 years old and above? Two. Not even Moses got in. Not even Aaron, the high priest. Only Caleb and Joshua. Why? Because when they came back from searching out the land, they said, we can take it. We got confidence. Yahweh is with us. These people don't stand a chance. It doesn't matter if they're 13 feet tall or whatever. So you talk about a tiny remnant, that's how it's going to be in the end time. Not many of us, sad to say, if we continue in disobedience, we're not going to make it. So as this picture says, there is no sin in keeping the commandments, but it is a sin not to keep the commandments. And that's a scriptural. If you read in Hebrews, go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, the Shabbat is a sign which includes the annual appointments. Abba gave us these so that we could rest, so that we could refresh. Many of us have hard jobs. You got brothers, they're self-employed. They work hard. They appreciate when Yahweh gives them rest. Parents, 24 hours a day, no break, right? Even when your kids got grandkids, you don't get a break. That's how it is. That's how Yahweh designed it. You think, oh, the kids are going to go off on their own. And then they come back, mommy, papi, can you help me with this? And of course, you're going to help them, you know, because you want them to come out on the better side. So Hebrews 4, verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be deemed to have fallen short of it. Interesting, verse 2. For we also received the good news just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them. Why? Since they did not share the faith of those who comprehend it. No excuse. People talk about the good news. People talk about the evangel. That was not a new concept. Abraham was preached the evangel. And Paul summed it up in the word, in you all nations will be blessed. That's where the grafting in comes in. So that's why we're told not to brag. Not to brag. When you're grafted in, don't brag. Don't look at people from Judah who don't accept Yahshua. They got time. They got the upper hand on us. Because the oracles were given to them and they preserved them for us. They did us a favor. So we should do them a favor. Have patience. Some of them, they love Yahweh, but they're not there yet. For the reason, Abba knows. You know, to some people, the scriptures are a pick and choose book. A pick and choose book. I like this commandment, but I don't like that one. Because this one costs me money. This one costs me a sacrifice. I got to do something. I got to go somewhere and keep a feast? No way. You got to do something. You got to get your hands dirty. Scriptures concerning the name of the Father and His Son are found in the poetic writings. People say, you make a big deal about the names. Proverbs 30, verse 4. What does it say in Proverbs 30, verse 4? As Elder Randy says, this one we should have it highlighted, and we should know that one. And interesting, that's not King Solomon who wrote that. Somebody else who wrote that. We talk about the pre-existent Yahshua. Who was he? What was his name? So the person that wrote Proverbs, King Agur, he says, what is the Father's name and what is the Son's name if you know it? The question is there for a reason, for you to go and search it out. And Psalm 22, verse 22, a beautiful psalm. Yahshua quoted this psalm, and he actually put it into practice. Psalm 22, verse 22. Yahshua says, I will proclaim, in reference to Yahweh, your name. Your name is set apart. Your name is holy. I will proclaim your name to my brothers. I will praise you in the assembly. When I go into the synagogue, I'm going to use the name. People are going to hate it, but I'm going to do it. Right? That's why we do it. That's why we lift up the name on high. You who fear Yahweh, praise Him. So that's what we do. We fear Yahweh. We know His power. We know what He can do. I like to think like this. Let's say you have a lot of knowledge. Let's say you have a lot of wisdom. You know a lot of things about a lot of things. Yahweh can take it all away. Just like that, He can do it. People catch amnesia, don't they? Forget who they are, where they are. You get a concussion. I got a concussion. They ask me, what's your name? I'm like, I don't even remember my name. Where are you going? I don't know where I'm going. I lost my sense of direction. It happens. If it wasn't for my driver's license, I wouldn't remember my name or where I lived. And so it is. Yahweh gives, Yahweh takes. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. In Hebrews 2, verse 10, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, who are Yahweh's people? What character traits define them? Hebrews 2, verse 10, in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting for Elohim, for whom and through whom all things exist, to make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are of the same family, the same mishpacha, the same familia. Yahweh sanctifies His people through the Son. And we could be part of that family. So Yahshua is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, and quoting again Psalm 22 in Hebrews 2, verse 12, the writer of Hebrews is quoting Psalm 22. I will proclaim your name to my brothers. I will sing your praises in the assembly. There's a reason why it's in there twice. Yahshua did these. He carried out the will of Yahweh. It is marvelous in our eyes. I love this picture. This is one of my favorites. You know, somebody, I had a sacred scriptures, right, from Bethel. It had duct tape on it, right? And somebody asked me, hey, can I have that? And I was kind of hesitant. I'm like, all right. Down the road, I saw this person. And I said, how's everything going? Oh, everything's going fine. I said, are you reading those scriptures? He said, no. It's there collecting dust. And I was like, you need to give me that back. I'll find somebody else, you know, to give it to. Let's continue. Let's turn to Psalm 50, if you would. Psalm chapter 50. You know, the Psalms are like a moderator's best friend. You know, when the brothers and sisters are getting together and they're going to give a special and, you know, they have to get things in order, right? They want things to sound right. So we take a little pause, a little break. We read from the Psalms. Psalms chapter 50, verses 1 through 6. My key verse is in verse 5. It says, "The mighty Elohim, even Yahweh, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, Elohim has shined. Our Elohim shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for Elohim is judge himself." So Yahweh says, gather to me all the saints that have made a covenant. You that just recently got immersed, you got engaged to the master. Some people were scratching their head when I said there was going to be some engagements during Tabernacles. It wasn't a literal. It could have been, right? But that's what the scriptures give us. They give us a beautiful picture of a husband and a wife when they get engaged and they make a contract. The man says, I promise to do this. The wife says, I promise to do this. And they enter into a contract, right? And then later, they consummate that. So Yahshua is in the process. When he comes back, that's going to take place. So we have a warning over in 2 John. 2 John. We have encouragement. You can be confident. Abba has called you. Abba has sealed you, you know. But you got to stay in the race, though. You have to stay in the race. You can't stop. And as some of the brothers here said, the enemy never takes a break. Sad to say, the enemy takes a break. I remember that story somebody shared. There was a person, he had something kind to say about anybody and everybody. So then when they asked him, well, what about the enemy? He said he's very persistent. That's the truth. You know people like that. Some salesmen, they don't stop. They want to sell you something. So we got to be on our toes. We got to watch, as they say, our front, our back. 2 John 1:9. 2 John 1:9. And this is a warning. There's people out there that would come to us with different teachings. It just says plain, 2 John 1:9. Anyone who runs ahead without remaining in the teaching of Messiah does not have Elohim. You say you're one of Yahweh's children and you don't remain in the teachings of Yahshua. You go to those other books that we heard about, the book of Enoch and all these other books, the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, that is, I mean, that was amazing. You read some of the stuff in there, it just blows you away. And you say, where did they get this from? So another character trait. Abba's people are a people who learn. Some of us, we have to learn this because we don't have that gift. So we learn to discern between the clean and unclean, the holy and the unholy, the music, the dress. Some of us didn't know these things growing up. Wow, I didn't know Saturday was the Sabbath. I didn't know that pork was unclean. I didn't know these things. You know, family, they just grew up on that. And then Abba opened your eyes to that. Not all have common sense. Sad to say, that's one of those phrases we like to use at our job. Would you run in front of a machinery that weighs as much as three cars? People do it. You're driving and they jump right in front of you. This thing could kill you, but they think it's funny. And the problem with that is what we were told was, if you're an operator, and even if it's not your fault, it's your fault. Because you didn't do enough to stop it. Isn't that amazing? Some people cannot use logic to reason. Yahweh says, come and let us reason together. Abba gives you the opportunity. He invites you to reason together. Look at Moses. There was a chapter there. I forgot to write it down. So Moses goes up and he's getting the Ten Commandments, right? So it's kind of funny, but Abba says, hey, go back down there. The people you brought out of Egypt, look at what they did. And Moses turns around and he said, no, these are your people. You remember that chapter? They go back and forth. Moses said, no, these are your children. You brought them out. And then he begs Abba for mercy because he knows how merciful Abba is. And Abba listened to him. He said, okay, down the road, I'm going to destroy these people, but for right now, I'll have mercy on them because of the children that didn't know any better. There's orphans out there. They don't know who their parents are. So just imagine, Abba doesn't want everybody to be an orphan. The ways of Yahweh are a lifelong pursuit. How many here have been doing this 5 years? 10 years, 15, 20, 60. A sister was saying her first feast was 1961. That seems like so long ago. But human nature never changes. So therefore, she's seen a lot. I found this interesting. A Christian pastor, he asked some of his congregation who in the crowd knew for certain they were going to heaven. Some in the crowd confidently raised their hand. I was amazed. Wow. All right, so let's do a little, let's do something different. If we phrase the question differently, who in this faith right now is 100% positive they will be in the kingdom? 100%. You know for a fact, you're going to be there sitting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How many of us would raise our hand? You see the difference in confidence, the difference in faith? People that don't believe like us, they think they have it locked. They're in there. They're going to be there. And we're like, wow, and here I am struggling to keep the Sabbath. I mean, I'm having a difficult time, you know, tithing. For me, the hardest part, I'll tell you, what's the hardest part? Love your neighbor as yourself. You can read it, Leviticus 19:18. Love that person that gets on your nerves the most. Think about that person that gets on, right? Do you love that person? That person wants to keep arguing and arguing and arguing about scriptures, and you already told them when the Sabbath is and what the commandments are. Sad to say, Abba gives stubborn Israelites over to their own devices. Abba is a merciful Elohim. You go to Psalm 78. I got a few more notes, and we'll wrap it up. Psalm 78. Just real quick. We have to see both sides of the coin. You see how Abba is not a respecter of persons. Abba doesn't play games. Abba's not a comedian, but he has a sense of humor, especially when we disobey him. If you read Malachi chapter 1, you'll see his sense of humor. Psalm 78, starting in verse 5. We'll just read a few verses here. It says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that their generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." So we pass the laws of Yahweh on down to the children by the way we walk. "That they might set their hope in Elohim and not forget the works of El." The people in the wilderness forgot the things Yahweh did when they were in Egypt, how he delivered them out of the last 7 plagues. They forgot. They forgot that he gave them food and clothes. They forgot that their shoes didn't wear out. They forgot. They call amnesia. And they want to blame Moses. And it says, it continues, "and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast without." Examples for us. Paul said, these things are examples for us. Don't be like them. Don't be like them. He repeats it. Don't be like the stubborn Israelites. Psalm 81, verse 12, just down the way there. Psalm 81, verse 12 will confirm. Psalm 81, verse 12. And it's similar. It reads similar, starting in verse 4, but you go down to verse 12. Yahweh says, "So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels." Disappointing. This is what happens when you don't give Abba credit, when you don't praise him, when you don't show up to the appointments like he told you to. Things happen. You read over in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. Abba talks about, Abba is so merciful, he tried to make it easy on us. Because none of us here are killing animals as a sacrifice to Yahweh for the peace offering, for the fellowship offering. You know, Yahshua was that ultimate sacrifice. I was listening to a video last night. It caught my attention. I couldn't remember all the 4 things. But this person, he says, there are 4 things that Yahweh doesn't know. I couldn't remember 3 of them, but I could remember 1 of them. Yahweh doesn't know what more he can do for his people. What more can he do for you? He gave you Yahshua, even if you don't call on him by name. The Lamb, spotless, blameless, voluntarily died for all mankind. What more can Yahweh do for you? Does he have to come down, tap you on the shoulder? I doubt it, because he dwells in unapproachable light, so you won't survive. And that's what he wants us to understand. That's why we sing the song, "I need you, every hour, I need you." You go to 2 Kings 23. 2 Kings 23. This is it's a beautiful picture. It's comforting, it's encouraging. When Elder Randy asked, how many good kings in Israel? None. Not even one. You couldn't dig up at least one. And yeah, we have this great king. 2 Kings 23, verse 3. It's a beautiful thing when kings and priests, high priests, work together. The people caught amnesia. 2 Kings 23, verse 3, it says, "The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before Yahweh to walk after Yahweh, to keep his commandments, his testimonies, his statutes, with all his heart and all his soul, to confirm the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And all the people agreed to the covenant. That's a beautiful picture, just like in Nehemiah. So once we know and comprehend, we will be held accountable. We want to comprehend Abba's laws. We want to know what he's telling us so that we can live the Torah to the best of our ability. We know we're going to fail. We know we're going to have struggles. So on the one hand, we have those who love the law but don't acknowledge Yahshua. Then on the other hand, like Tevye likes to say, we have those who acknowledge Yahshua, although not by name, but insist the law doesn't apply to them. So which group is right? You guessed it. Abba's people. Because you acknowledge Yahshua, you apply the law to the best of your ability. And you know, Abba wants equal weights and measures. When you read about equal weights and measures, it's not just for the fine flour and for the vegetables. You are called to decipher between right and wrong. That's your job. And you need to have equal weights and measures. So as the elder likes to say, you know, being diplomatic never hurts, but you never compromise. You might get your feelings hurt because somebody you thought, you know, loved you, you know, might just give you a hard time. But we have Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, I have three more scriptures. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. So you are living stones, just like Yahshua. And the character traits that define Abba's people and who they are, we went through some of them. The feast days, they love the scriptures, they give thanks in all things, they're strong and courageous. That's from Joshua. And this is a hard one. This is a hard one for some to swallow. For the word of Elohim is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows, really deep. It judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So when you read that scripture and you say, Abba knows my heart. Abba knows your heart, huh? The scriptures put us in our place. They tell us who we are. They tell us who we're not. They tell us what we're doing right. They tell us what we're doing wrong. If you look at that word judges, it judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You know how people like to tell you, don't judge me. You ever heard of a critic? 29:24, criticos, a critic. Somebody invites you to eat food and they ask you, how was it? Could have been better, you know. It was great. I loved it. Give me the recipe, you know? And that's how it is. So we read all these scriptures. A lot of times we might look down on these Israelites, but we make the same mistakes. You look at Moses. One time, just one time, he lost his temper. Kept him out of the promised land. Because he was told to speak to the rock. A lot of times we're told, speak to a person, and instead we want to scream at them, but you don't understand. The wrath of man doesn't accomplish the will of Yahweh. You read about that in James. So the two closing scriptures, we'll go to Galatians, if you want to follow along, if you just want to listen. I got Galatians 3:8 and then 5:14. And these tell us how we accomplish the will of Almighty Yahweh, whether we're in denial or not. I think Brother Javon sent me this one. The Sabbath, forever. Covenant, forever. His law, forever. His word, forever. What does forever mean? When Abba first said it, we're still in forever to this day. Can I go back, Lucas? Can I go back? There you go. Abba's Torah is forever. Isn't that how we started out? 1 Peter 1:25. The word of Yahweh stands forever. And this is the word that we use to evangelize. Galatians 3:8. The scripture that foresaw that Yahweh would judge the Gentiles by faith and foretold the evangel to Abraham, all nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. That's where we want to be. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Is our faith going to fail us? Are we going to be like those that have a heart attack? Or those that are screaming to the rocks to fall on them? As if they're going to get away with anything? Galatians 5:14. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But wait a minute, I thought it was done away. How is it fulfilled if I love my neighbor as myself? I got a problem there. I got to sort it out. I got to pray to Yahweh. So Yahshua said people would know if we're truly his, if we have love for one another. So if you love even those who disagree with you, then you're keeping Leviticus 19:18. We disagree with some of the teachings of our Christian friends. Doesn't mean we hate them. We disagree with some so-called rabbis and their teachings, but we don't hate them. It's just a disagreement because of Abba's word. May Yahweh bless you, and may Yahweh keep you, and may you continue to be strong. Brother Javon, thank you so much for your attention, and hopefully you found some nugget in there somewhere that you can use to bless someone.